Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump.
Well, hello, ladies.
Hello. Hey.
How are you, Phil?
How are you doing?
Hi. Happy New Year's, everybody.
Happy New Year. How was your flight home?
Back to Florida here, it was fine. Until the guy started coughing, and naturally I get sick. So that's why you haven't heard me. I did try to call Thursday night, but I was too late. I'm sorry about that, Phil.
No worries.
How was your holidays, though? Good?
Everything was good.
Oh, that's great.
How were yours?
And how about yours, Nora?
It was quiet, you know. I just sat there and I cooked on the grill. And I watched Channel 7, the Ring in the New Year, so Happy New Year, and like I always do.
Well, I spent some of it on the airplane, and then my girlfriend picked me up, and then I got here, and I had a drink. I had a drink, Phil.
You did?
All by myself.
Wow.
And I was in bed probably, excuse me, you'll have to forgive me. I was in bed and I slept through the ball, so.
Wow.
I didn't have a ball. I slept through the ball. Come on, guys, laugh. We got to get a little thing in here.
Yeah, I got it. Nora's a little blind today, but I got it.
Yeah, I'm blind today. But I didn't even have that much sleep, so whenever I don't get a lot of sleep, I kind of become bland. So I'm slow, but I'm still here.
Well, I got some information. The conference committee did pass the bill, but the House of Representatives stopped it.
Uh-huh. Did they tell you why?
No, and they don't have to.
Yeah.
But we're on a fighting mood.
Yeah.
So what I would like some of the listeners to do, if they would, and I think I suggested before, is to send MassGov emails asking them how come this bill was not passed in the House. And if we could just bottom.
What was that again? Mass what? Dot gov?
Mass.
Yes.
Mass.gov.
Yeah. And the bill number was 4326, wasn't it? 4326. I'll have to look it up, but I'm almost sure that's what it is. On pedophilia. And if they could just mention, you know, gee, you would think where an 8-day-old baby was raped by a pedophile, that MassGov would have, and the House of Representatives would have passed that right away to protect our children.
Uh-huh.
But they did pass a very important bill to protect our animals in abusive relationships, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I know.
So if our listeners and I hope you don't mind if I say our listeners.
No, go ahead.
Would do that. That would be a great help for this bill. I was introduced through Huey, okay, to this wonderful man who is fighting the same thing up in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And he's got a lawsuit, I guess, against the Catholic Church and the Canada government. I talked to Kevin today. As a matter of fact, I'm going to meet him and his father tomorrow because he's down here in Florida. His father lives in Florida, and we're going to have lunch. I asked him to call in and listen to the show.
Uh-huh.
He used to be a reverend, is from what I understand. But I guess some of this abuse happened on an Indian reservation, and I'm sure it's happened to many Indian reservations. He's a fighter and he's a speaker. He goes out and he speaks to a lot of different places. I think next week, I think he's going to be up in New York speaking.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm hoping that we can all kind of link together. So we can help each other as much as we can.
That's the way it works.
Yeah, one hand washes the other. So I hope Kevin's listening. And nice. I mean, I've talked to him several times in the last few days. And first we were going to meet, and then we weren't. And then I feel a little bit better, so I'm going to do it. And we're going to meet up in Palm Bay for lunch tomorrow.
Nice.
So this should be very interesting.
Uh-huh.
Carmen Dursel, what I'm going to try to get him to do, Phil, Thursday, is give him your number to call into the show, and you can ask him some questions if you want. That's the lawyer, you know.
Okay.
Out of Boston, and maybe, just maybe, we can get Mitchell. It all depends how his schedule is and how Carmen's schedule is, but he can explain a little bit more and better than I can, because he's more of a gentleman, and sometimes I'm not a lady, so you know that.
Yeah.
So
I have that happen to me at times, you know, and I just call it being a superwoman. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, I'm a little bit more calmer than what I was before, because, as you know, I'm not going to give up on this fight. I haven't done it in 32 years. Why should I do it now?
Exactly.
It's not my ego. That's gone.
Right.
I think I was just hurt more because it's for the children. It's not for me. It's not for any of us. It's for the children in this world. We got to stop protecting them and not allowing public figures to decide that they don't want to protect our children. And I told Carmen that any news media that I can get, as you know, our public figures, we can use their names. They're out there, and we're going to do it.
Right.
And when I find out the ones that were in the House of Representatives, because it was a small majority at that time, I will plaster their name too. Because I think they deserve to have their name plastered on all the good deeds they do for the insurance companies and the non-profitable organizations. And, you know, I know elections are a little bit away, but, you know, I hope I live until the next election so I can get out there and work against them.
Right.
Which I have every intentions of doing. and I think I might have a little bit of weight. But that's one thing I would really, you know, love the listeners to do. It only takes a few minutes to send out an email. And maybe if we hit them right in the eyes, and maybe they should send an email personally to our governor, you know, Deval Patrick, and asking him why he did not get involved. As we all know, that he can't legally get involved with the House or the Senate.
Right.
But let's face it, when one washes one hand, it washes the other hand. And he's supposed to be our governor. So I think by hitting them with emails that it's not going to hold this back. That now they're in full session. And they can put this on their agenda.
Right.
You know? They can put this on their agenda. So I think if we really power play them and get on some talk shows and that's another thing. Anybody wants to email Dr. Phil Show and talk about this, as long as they just remember the bill numbers.
Right.
Which I can give you, Phil, and maybe you can post them.
Sure.
The more emails that he gets about this, the sooner. And I understand they have thousands and thousands, probably millions, you know. But I think if Dr. Phil's show gets bombarded by it too, that it will help.
Yeah.
And then that goes national, you know. And then from national, it goes around the world because it's happening all over the world. And, you know, like I said, we can all wash everybody else's hands and hold them out and help them. So. But how's our Bill doing?
He's doing good. I was up, he was there with me at the Easy Rider Show's Saturday and hung out for a while. And then I saw him Sunday and he was in a better mood. Then I saw him yesterday and he enjoyed his ride to and from work.
Good.
Yeah.
And I got the pictures, Phil. Your daughter is beautiful. You know that?
Well, thank you.
And that baby, oh my God. You could just eat her up.
You know? I can't wait to tell her to teach her all the shit that was done to me.
Oh, God. She is absolutely beautiful. Kevin, I'll just tell you, Phil just had a granddaughter. And she was born October?
Yeah.
And Grandma here, because I feel like I'm her grandmother now, made her an outfit, a dress and a floppy old hat.
Yeah.
And Phil sent me pictures of her in it, you know. So I'm kind of glad I waited that long to send it, Phil, because it kind of fit her, you know.
Right.
Oh, you did such a beautiful job.
That hat, all you have to do is tell your daughter to pull the ribbon in the back.
Oh, yeah. No, they did. They did.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah, she's 4 months old. So
yeah.
She'll be able to wear that for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she'll get some wear out of it. And I've been going through some of my baby books because now I've got to make something else. But it will be unique, I promise you.
Okay.
All right, it'll be unique. So that's what I'm up to date. Oh, no, I got to tell you this other thing.
Sure.
I think I told you we were taking my children out the night before I left.
Right.
My grown children now. out to supper. And
uh-huh.
we did that.
Okay.
So, and it was a great time. It was just the five of us, my husband and myself and my son and my two daughters. So we left probably about 7 o'clock. You know, we all met like 5, and we had a wonderful meal. About 9 o'clock, my daughter-in-law called us and told me that my son was in a very bad accident.
Wow.
Sorry to hear that. That was the
30th.
Yeah. And what happened, from what I understand, was he went down to, I told you, he's redoing his 3-decker over.
Right.
So he went down to pay the carpenter. After he left us, he went down to pay the carpenter what he owed him for that week. And he had a drink at the restaurant with us, and then he had a drink with the carpenter. Well, then he gets home like 7:30 or 8:30, I can't remember. And his wife said to him, "Mark, where's your wallet? Your pocket to your pants are totally cut out."
Right.
And he goes, "What?" Because he doesn't remember any of this now. So anyways, he gets into her car, and he's going to go back to the bar.
Uh-huh.
Right? Goes around the corner, and he blacks out, Phil.
Wow.
Hits 3 parked cars.
Oh, wow. God.
Thank God they were parked cars. Thank God. I mean, he got hurt, but thank God nobody got killed.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They slipped
DUI.
Him a Mickey. Well, they arrested him for a DUI. The kid has never been arrested. Okay, so they let him out on his own personal recognizance. But they had to take him to the hospital because his whole chin was slit right underneath, and he was bleeding really bad. So they took his license away from him for 6 months. But they hired a lawyer, and he didn't take that breathalyzer.
Uh-huh.
He didn't take that. And they got him for assault and battery. And he doesn't even remember that. And his wife was there, and one of the guys whose car got, you know, damaged, come out and grab my son, you know, and my son, I guess, told him to take his hands off him or something like that. And the guy pushed him, and my son pushed him back, but the guy swore out a warrant for him, assault and battery. But, you know, the lawyer that we got said that that can be taken care of. But they also took a test to see if he was a Mickey, what do they call him? Something.
Where somebody,
you know,
spiked his drink?
Yeah.
From a Mickey?
Yeah, a Mickey.
Huh?
Looked him a Mickey.
Yeah, so I guess they tested that. He went the next day. He told the judge he didn't remember anything. And the judge is the one that suggested that he go get a test for drugs. Okay? And they found out that someone's flipped him a Mickey. And, so whoever did it must have, when he left the bar, you know, they sliced his pocket and, you know, and took his wallet. And I guess he had quite a bit of money in it.
Wow.
But, you know, this should work out okay. But, you know, they did take his license. So, but my husband says, "Now, aren't you staying home?" I says, "No. What can I do? What can I do, Phil? There's not a thing that I could do. He's a grown man, you know."
Yeah.
This hair will pass too, but he has to handle this. I mean, we're helping him, you know, financially as far as the lawyer goes, you know. But but that's my wonderful New Year's. Well, it was the day before New Year's Eve, but so wasn't that wonderful?
Yeah. I hear you.
I don't this world's coming to.
Crazy people.
Well, I think it needs to be cleaned out, so I think we need to give it an enema.
I don't even know if an enema would help.
Well, it would be the start. Maybe it'll have a good diarrhea, so.
Yep.
Me and my witty stuff. Have you heard from Hermes at all?
No.
You know, I've called him, asked him why he hasn't called me, and there's no shows.
Yeah. No, he's probably got something going on.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, his parents were sick, too. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
What was that, Phil?
His parents are sick, too.
Oh.
So I don't know. You know, I can't tell you.
I don't want to speculate.
Just saying that I know his parents were sick and he was taking care of them too, so.
Yeah. I know he's taking care of his mother and father, yeah.
Right.
Plus his hand isn't working out as well. I don't know if he went in for more surgery or what, you know. I'm talking to Kevin because I'm hoping he's listening.
Uh-huh.
He's a friend of ours, a friend of ours that has another Block Talk Radio, and Kevin and his father Bill has one. I'm not sure if it's once a month or twice a month on a Saturday on Block
right.
Talk Radio. I'm almost sure. So,
oh, okay.
Hopefully,
he just started a Sam Crow radio station. They're going to be interviewing a couple of guys from the show here. I haven't got once I get all the info, I'll put it up for everybody. But it should be pretty good.
Oh, great! Great.
Yeah,
so,
I got the invites today.
Oh, good, good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someday I'll have enough of. Balls to get my own show, Block Talk Radio.
Well, how good are you at the computer?
Huh?
I said you're gonna have
I know
to learn
you
how
have
to
do it. Because, yeah, I know. I'll have to take some lessons.
Yeah.
You know, I have a friend down here that's kind of a computer whiz, so I'm gonna see if he can get me all set up so when I'm on your show, I can just go to. You know, your website and talk to you through there or whatever, however we do it, you know.
Uh-huh.
But that's one of my dreams, and I got to get busy on this book. I really do. I've been just goofing off, you know. But I'll do that. So I don't know, do you have any other phone numbers up there?
I didn't look yet. I'm still doing some other stuff here. Hang on. No, not yet. I'm waiting for a couple of people to call. I ain't going to say what it is or nothing until I see the numbers. But
okay.
Sorry, wait, what was that news story you were telling me about? What happened over there?
In my state, well, in my town, there was a fireman, and he went from my town to the town next over. He transferred a couple years back. He became the head investigator for that town's fire department, okay? He was just charged the other day with home invasion and sexual assault to the woman that owned the home. Plus, he was... there was another charge, but he also carried lubricant and a sexual toy on his person when he went to go do his home invasion, and they put him in a $150,000 bond. He got bonded out. He's on ankle bracelets at his parents' house, which is in the town that I'm in. And I find it amazing because they're trying to sit there and say that it's a mental disorder issue. Bullshit. He knew exactly what he was doing. Yeah. And they don't, they're trying to cover it under a badge, you know, to make it look like he just needs a certain type of medication, he'll be fine. No, it doesn't work like that, because if that was the case, why would he be carrying a lubricant and a sexual device toy with him?
Right.
You know.
Unbelievable.
But unfortunately, they stick together. And I don't mean that rude or ignorant or anything like that. But, you know, don't hide behind a badge, because if it was, say if it was Phil that did that, he doesn't have anything to hide behind.
Right.
You know, his bail would be set in at an insane amount, $100,000 or $150,000
bail. Well, the parents had to come up with something for him to get out.
Well, like I said, he's an older man. He's in his 40s. Okay, and so right now they have him on an electronic monitor, where he has to remain at his parents' house, which his parents live in the town that I reside in. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, there's TV crews all over the place and everything. It puts our town on the map because the guy's an idiot. You know, he purposely...
Well, why don't you go to that news cruise and say, well, you know, we had a bill for pedophiles and give him the bill number.
Right.
And it was put into a conference committee, which all of them agreed that this bill should be passed, but it went back to the House of Representatives, and it didn't pass.
Right.
You know?
Does the law actually work? No, it doesn't.
No.
It works for the ones that have something to hide behind. The church, they hide behind their own. You know, the badge, they hide behind their own. And, you know, for regular citizens, who do we have to hide behind? No one.
That's why we have to fight harder.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I just find it amazing that somebody could think they could get away with it by being in the position that they are. Again, it's a different kind of position than the church, but it's the same scenario. They've got some
money
to hide behind.
Money talks. Don't you understand that?
Oh, I know.
Money
it does.
Talks. And that's the sad part. And I just want people to remember, alone in Massachusetts, 300 to 350 children a day are being sexually abused. And, you know, I hope people can sleep. You know, I really do.
People sleep when it comes to human trafficking as well. People are human trafficked every day. You know, and we're not talking just adults. We're talking children as well. And they become sold or whatever. And, you know, they're used for, you know, men's sexual whatever in a different country, you know, so.
Oh, it happens right here, too, you know.
Oh, I know it happens right here.
You know, it's.
And, you know, the sad thing is, like I said, it's not that it's out of the country, human trafficking. It could be taking place here in the States, which we know it does. It's just they traffic them out of the country, because the laws are different, and it's hard in some of the countries to get that extradition to get them back. You know, there's legal red tape for that. But, you know, we've also had people that worked in the water and sewage department in Chicago that were actually filmed, caught on film, going to Costa Rica. These were men that were looking to have sex with little boys. Are you kidding me? You have to go into a different country?
Oh, it happens every day.
Because, right. Oh, I know. Yeah. But see, they thought they wouldn't get caught because they're in a different country. You know, how would they explain themselves here? But unfortunately, when they got popped, you got to come back and answer to it, you know. So, like I said, they think they're smart and they're just stupid. Bottom line.
What do you think about that, Stacey? By the way, that was a good video. I saw that. Real nice.
My son?
Coming along good. I like that.
Yeah, he's working his butt off. He got hurt tonight, though. They were.
Happy New Year, Stacey.
Happy New Year to you, too. How are you? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Oh, all right. I'm quiet.
Oh, well, you know, I was waiting for you to respond, you know, to this old rod here. So.
Yeah, no, I did. I said Happy New Year, and that's back to you too. And I'm like waiting, and I didn't hear anything. I thought I had.
Well, you know how I am. Sometimes I get lost.
Right. We all do that.
You know, you guys almost lost me last night. I woke up and I couldn't breathe.
Oh.
So they called an ambulance and sent me to the hospital.
Oh, how you feeling?
My bronchial tubes were closing up. But the doctor was gracious enough to say to me, Mrs. White, you'd be better to go home than to stay here. You wouldn't believe the corridors were just packed with sick people.
Yeah, the flu.
So they gave me some treatments and put me on some steroids, which I should be nice and puffy by tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And it, you know, it opened the bronchial tube so I could breathe, and I feel almost like a normal person. But I have been sick, like I said, since last Thursday.
Yeah, my mother's had a nasty, nasty bronchial type thing going on for the past week, too.
Yeah, it's turning around.
Yeah. Eunice was fine, but when she took her flight home, somebody in the plane was sick and she got sick.
Oh, yeah. That'll do it to you. It's like a little sardine can. Yeah. Absolutely.
And it just. Gotta wait until I got back to Florida, and it's been beautiful, and I've been in this stupid bed, which I call stupid now, which I love, but, you know, how long can you stay in bed?
Yeah.
Depends on who's there.
Yeah, but I'm by myself, Phil.
Well,
I don't think she's thinking about a Saturday night special when she's sick.
Oh, I'm too old for sex anyways. They told you that. I can only think about it.
Oh my God! Well, and Phil. Anyways, he got hurt tonight because that was the first part. They were just kind of going through obstacle courses and doing some cardio and stuff. But when he was grappling, because he goes for 2 hours every night, he was grappling tonight. He went up against a little bit bigger of a boy, and he's an orange belt. With Gage is still. White belt with one black stripe, and he got his first ass handed to him on a silver plate. But you know, at the gym right now, we have a special person there. His name is Trent McGowan. He's a pretty big MMA fighter, and Sensei is training him the next 6 weeks because he's going to go back to Ohio and fight. The kid's amazing. Amazing. I mean, he's a real peach.
That's great.
Because I see him during the day because I'm there in the afternoon working out, and the kid's training, and it's just phenomenal what this kid can do. I'm like, oh my God. And he's got a lot of help and awards and this, that, and the other, you know. So Gage is just a little tadpole in the big frog pond right now, you know. But hey,
well, he'll learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He'll be and good at it too.
Yeah, he's gonna get his bumps and everything else because there's a Naga at the end of the month on the 27th. But Sensei wanted a minute because he feels he can handle it, but I just think he needs more time. And of course, Mom always has the final say. So he's gonna skip over this one and. he'll probably do the next one when he's got a little bit more experience, because those Nagas are no joke, no joke. And the evening class does the cage fighting. And
no, when my boy was about 8,
yeah,
he already had his brown belt.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of kids there with brown belts with black stripes. You know, they're pending their black belt, and with the black stripe on the brown belt, they've made a promissory note to Sensei to teach at his, you know, gym versus go on somewhere else. So, and they're about, I gotta say, anywhere in between 14 and 16, if that, you know, and they've been doing it for like 7-8 years. So, I mean, this is Philip. What Gage does is a combination of Filipino, I think it's jiu-jitsu, judo, and something else. But it's a combination of 5 different things. And Sensei has 25 years in Filipino martial arts.
Right.
And, wow. You know, yeah, he's... Yeah, you know, at first when I got involved with this, I didn't really know a lot about it. And then when you get to sitting there every single night for 2 hours every night rooting on your kid, you begin to learn about your new environment and everything that goes along with it. And Gage's sensei has been around the planet and back. I mean, he's 40 years old now. And he still trains once a week. He gets his own ass handed to him. That's what he tells everybody. He's won a lot of awards, done different things. But when it comes to the kids, he is fantastic. And he just doesn't, you know, he doesn't tolerate disrespect. Like tonight, 2 of the kids got into a little bit of a spit for spat. And he looked right at him, and these are his famous words, and I've heard him say it before. He's like, I don't need the money. He said, I don't need yous to be here disrupting my team. He's like, we are a team. When you walk through this door, this is your family, this is your team. And if you're not going to coexist and function with your team, then you can go home. He's like, because I don't need the money. And, you know, he has sent people home. He has for a week, sometimes 2 weeks. And it's for you to get your head on straight, to leave the dirt at the door, and you're there to learn and to, you know, begin to train for what's on down the road. And but he's a fantastic guy. I train with him every day, and I give him a run for his money. I always bust in my chops, but you know me, I'm cocky and arrogant, and I give it right back to him. So, you know, but
that's
he's a good
guy. Teacher.
Yeah, he's a fantastic.
Someone that can control a group like that, that's a very good teacher.
And, you know, if you guys ever want to see him in action, just look up Tim Gillette on YouTube. He's got hundreds of videos on there, which, I mean, I just only found that stuff out in the last couple of weeks. You know, I didn't know that.
Right.
So, you know, learn a little bit every day, I guess, and that's it. But I've been away from the gym for 2 weeks now, working out with him, and I just went back over the past couple of days, and yeah, I'm a hurting unit, because we had to get my mom all settled in over here, and that's been a freaking zoo, goddamn system. Let me tell you something, don't grow old with the type of government and system we have in fucking place, because everything you work for will be gone. Everything you saved for, they're going to take. And everything you want to do, they're going to tell you no. So, you know, enjoy life, spend your money, live large, and you know what? Don't let them be the ones that have to help you in the end, you know, because you ain't going to get nowhere. And that's the truth. You know,
the rich people, you know.
Yeah. Yes,
only the rich people don't have to worry about that.
Or, and I mean, I'm not trying to be discriminating against anybody, believe me, or the very poor that have been on, like, welfare most of their lives or manipulating the system, you know. And it's like people like my mom who worked her whole life as a nurse and busted her ass and everything else, you know. Now is her golden years, and, you know, today she was so damn depressed because she became, you know, paraplegic. She's paralyzed, and, you know, she was like, I don't want to eat no more. I don't want to take my meds. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do, you know, and that's a hard thing as her daughter,
you know, and I'm standing over her trying to give her the nicest lecture possible with this, you know, and you use all the, there's got to be some reason why you, something positive has to come out of all this. But, you know, I mean, I don't think since she's been home, there ain't a night that I've gone to bed and cried because
yeah.
you know, the woman is not getting what she so righteously deserves. Because being a nurse, you give everything, you know, and she, over the last 30 years, she took care of my father, and then he died. She took care of her father, and he died. She took care of her mother, and she died for 10 years later to land up like this, you know, and it's just, it's crap. It really is.
Well, let me tell you, I have a daughter who is with this total jerk that collects SSI. No. Do you know what SSI is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, SSI is for people that have never paid into the system and they have a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. This guy collects X amount of hundreds of dollars a month. Plus he gets all his medical, all his medicines, but nothing. Goes into a doctor's office, does not have to pay a copay for a doctor. And we have many, many, many of them that are in that system. He worked for years but never paid into Social Security because he has so many children in this world.
Hey, there was a 24-year-old kid in Detroit. He was getting $13,568 a month from welfare.
What?
Yep.
He had
eight kids, and then those kids had kids, and they were all collecting.
Oh, my God.
See, that's what I mean. Some people really, really abuse it. You know, I mean, I know people that ride around in brand-new Cadillacs, you know, and they're on the welfare system.
Well, that's funny that you said that because I was having a conversation with a close friend of mine's tonight, and of course I was just blowing steam about the same thing I just blew steam about. And she said, you know where the nicest cars in the world are parked? Well, the nicest cars in the city. And I looked at her and I'm like, where? She said, in front of all the projects.
Yep.
She said, that's where you see the Cadillacs, the Lexuses, the Mercedes. She said, all the $1,000 worth of rims and chrome. She said, you don't see it. She said, like on my street or your street where people are paying mortgages and working their asses off to pay the taxes, and they're driving like a little four-cylinder Toyota or maybe a mid-sized pickup truck, you know, because they got to bust their asses to make ends meet. She says, but you want a fancy car? She said, go drive by the lowest form of ghetto there is. And she said, you'll see tons of them. And I had to think about that one for a minute, and I'm like, what is wrong with this system? You know, because my mother has tried to apply for extra help, different things to help her along, and because she has X amount of dollars or she had X amount of insurance or X amount of money saved up in the bank for, like, this point in her life, oh, no, we can't help you. We can't do nothing for you.
No, I know.
Drain all your assets.
That's ridiculous.
Drain all your assets, and then we'll think about helping you. And then
oh, yeah.
Like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, what are you to do?
Yeah.
It's a horrible, horrible system. Horrible.
I got to tell you this. This is going back. I'm just bringing back memories. When I used to get what they called partial assistance,
yeah,
welfare assistance.
Right.
They used to make up $7.50. We used to get paid like every 2 weeks, okay? $7.50 every 2 weeks, which is $15 a month, all right?
Uh-huh.
Well, anyways, three of us three of us girls lived in this three-decker. And we were accused of running a house of Ilya Pute.
What?
Yeah, I'm serious. And at that time, they wouldn't let you face your the person that accused you of doing this. But we had this bitchy old lady that lived across the street. Now, I don't know where she ever come up with this idea, because none of us had a car. I'm sorry, Pat had a car. And you never seen strange cars parked there, you know? So anyways, they cut our checks off.
Wow.
I didn't care. $7.50, it totaled to $15 a month. So anyways, the social worker come up, and my girlfriend Pat had five kids, like from 9 months old to, say, 7 years old. You know, they were pretty close. So they said, we're holding your checks back, and you have to go before this board that was coming in from Boston. Okay. So Pat says, and how do you expect me to feed my children? And they says, well, we just don't know how you're going to do that. So, I mean, she was funny. She took every one of her children with shopping bags and put clothes in them, brought them down to the welfare department, okay, and her social worker come out and he says, what are you doing, you know? And she says, well, my children aren't going to starve because of some woman across the street, so I'm going to leave them here so you guys can feed them. And she turned around and she walked out the door. The oldest boy was holding the baby. I told him to take their $15 a week, and if I was a hooker, I was making more than $15 a month hooking, so they could keep their money, you know?
Right.
So anyways, before she got home, the social worker was there with her five children and her check. I mean, at that time, anybody could accuse you of anything. And I had this one social worker. She was an old lady. And she would show, they never had to make an appointment with you. They would only show up. I mean, I had a job. I worked at the welfare department, you know. So anyways, she come into my house one time. She takes this little wisp broom, brushes off my chair in the kitchen, and takes a piece of newspaper and puts it down. I think I gave her about 30 seconds to get her ass out of my house.
Wow.
I says, you don't come into my house and do that, not especially when I have a clean home. Well, we just never know, you know. I says, yeah, you're right. You'll never know, because I want you out of here right now. And that was the last time she ever come into my house.
Wow.
But welfare was so different than it is now. They made you go to work, even if you had to work in their office, you know. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You couldn't get away with anything.
Yeah. Hold on one second. Hello, 760.
Hi, Philip. It's Lindsay. I just wanted to say that it was great meeting you today.
You too.
And Loretta and I are off to some shenanigans now.
Okay.
Have fun.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Who is that?
People I met today.
Oh. Are you starting a fan club without us?
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, you know, I don't think that's fair for us girls. We have to approve everybody that
Ray Hatch first, you know.
Hey, wait a minute. I remember last week when Bill came back and who was driving the bus.
Don't you be dissing my Bill on the air. I will not stand for that.
I didn't diss him. You guys dissed him.
Think clearly about what you're going to say, because Bill is angelic to me.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Oh,
I
know
Bill
him.
Is listening to this show.
Yeah,
Bill, I miss you, too.
Oh, I love Bill. Bill is just the man. That's it. You know, he could sell shit on a stick to the most richest person for $1 million because he's got that voice. You know, it's just. Now, what were you saying? Sorry, we interrupted you. But
we were tossing him under the bus.
That's it. He said Bill, and that was it. That's all it took.
Yeah, but we were dissing Phil and tossing him under the bus on Thursday. Remember? But Bill did remember the skinny jeans when you posted that on his wall. He remembered that. That was a good thing, see?
Mm-mm-mm. Well, guys, I'm not going to... I wore my voice out.
That's okay. We understand.
I'll rest up a little bit, and if I don't fall asleep, I'll call back before you guys turn off.
Okay.
All right. Just make sure you take care of yourself.
I will. And I'll talk to you guys Thursday night if I don't call back, okay?
Okay.
All right. Take care.
All righty. Good night.
Good night.
A nice new year.
You too.
You know, I know it's a delayed new year, but I'm sorry. I just...
It's okay.
I'm glad you had her call me to make sure I was calling in, though.
Okay, good. So, good.
You know? Alrighty, my friends, and I really consider you guys my friends. And
Thank you.
Maybe if you can just post something on the blog.
I already did, and I'll post it on the other thing for you.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Let you know
how my lunch goes, and maybe we can get Kevin to come on the show.
Okay.
Probably Thursday. I'll talk to him tomorrow.
Take care of yourself.
And,
get plenty of rest.
I will. So, God bless everybody. And
Hey, wait. Before you go, listen to this. Newsflash. A Saudi Arabian military sergeant in the U.S. for training mission has been charged with raping a boy in a Las Vegas hotel room on New Year's Eve.
They do that in the Middle East. You're sick.
You're kidding me.
Nope.
See, guys, how much we need this law, and we have to do it nationally. And then, you know, the whole world. And anybody that needs my help, I'm more than happy to help them. We just need all your support now.
Yeah.
Well, I got to make myself beautiful for my trip tomorrow, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
And it's going to take all night for me to do that. You know that.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
All right, girls, nice talking to you.
Good night, Lou.
We'll talk to you Thursday.
Right. Talk to you Thursday, guys. I'll probably call back later. Let me, you know, if I don't, you'll understand, right?
Yep.
You better.
Yeah, get some rest.
So give that baby a kiss for me, okay?
I will.
All right.
Have a good night, Eunice. Take care.
You too, guys. Bye-bye.
Yes?
I would just like to speak for a minute. I lost a real good friend yesterday.
I'm sorry. My thoughts and prayers are with you and the family.
She was my age, 40 years old.
Wow.
And she died, well, she was younger than me, actually. She died of bone cancer.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, 2 years ago we did a big benefit to raise money for her to have stem cells because another insurance hang-up, something that works, of course, you got to pay for. It put her in remission for 2 years, but then she had some bone scans done, et cetera, and she had 30, 32 spots on her spinal cord. And she had a batch of stem cells put on ice up at Dana Farber, and she opted for no, because the treatment you have to go through before you get that batch of stem cells is pretty, you know, horrific. They pretty much wipe out your immune system.
Right.
And then she'd have to go through different types of radiation, and you can't do the whole spinal cord at once. It would have been a spot here, a spot there, while the other spots were growing, and then the other spots were now heated and had to heal, and it would have been just hell.
A mess. Right.
So the group, which is all the girls I go have cocktails with and I post about, et cetera, one of the girls in the group had her in her house, and that's where she was for the last several weeks with her friends, her close family, and hospice. And she lapsed into a coma a couple of days ago, and yesterday she died at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and surrounded by her family, her friends, and a fantastic group of people. You know, she leaves behind a daughter, a granddaughter, and lots of family, you know, but it's been pretty hard on all of my immediate group, because we've had two of our girls go for breast cancer. We just had this one pass away from bone cancer. And, you know, the only thing I can say that I've learned from all of it is that you have to learn to embrace life, and you have to learn to let love in your life. And I know that sounds corny to some people, but, you know, if you don't have those two things in your life, you're going to miss out on a lot. You're going to see life with blinders on. You know, and as sick as my friend was, and she was very, very sick, she woke up every day with a smile on her face.
Mm-hmm.
She told everybody how much she loved them, and she wanted to hear about whatever was going on in the world. Never once did you hear her complain about anything, nothing. And the only thing that she had said to me, you know, she said when her spirit or her soul or her energy, she said, whatever it is, she said, when it's released, she said, I just want to run. And I looked at her and I said, you want to run? I'm like, where do you want to run? She said, to all the places, she said, I've never gotten to see. She said, I want to run to all them places and just be free to fly, because the cancer had gotten so bad here over the last couple of weeks, she lost the ability to pretty much walk. So she was bedbound, and that just did a number on her, too. And she actually, you know, she embraced the thought of passing away. She was like, you know, she said, I'm done here. She said, this shell is basically used up. You know, she was ready for what she calls her second form of life, to be rid of all the ailment here and to go on to wherever it is people are supposed to go. But she was a good woman, and she's never going to be forgotten. That's for damn sure.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so my weekend through the week has been a little bit of a rough patch, or so to say, you know. But on another note, what else is going on in the world?
Nothing.
No.
Bill and I went. I was a little late because I had a fire on the ship. But Bill, I met up with Bill Saturday at the Easy Rider show, and I bounced back and forth a couple of text messages with Charlie while he was signing autographs.
Yeah.
And, and then I talked to him before he left, and by that time Bill had already left, and I got to meet some other people, and got a few things straightened out with a couple of meetings, and everything's okay now.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Nora, how's everything in Chicagoland?
I don't know. What happened?
Did we lose her? Where'd she go?
No, she's there.
She probably ran outside to smoke a cigarette.
Probably. But no, to get back to that story, I was telling you about my son.
Yeah.
And grew up in the bleachers. He's in a tournament. And he gets the first 2 points right off the bat. And about two rows down, you know how it's like being in a ball game and the parents get out of line?
What did you do, dude? What did you do?
That bitch stood up there hard. He's a dirty fighter. He's a dirty... She almost got killed.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And as soon as she did, as soon as she started running her mouth, everybody else started running their mouth. And then afterwards, she's like, well, they were mismatched. They ought to fight. You ought to make that kid fight again. And the guy said, lady, your son, maybe because you were up there and yelling, you intimidated your son and he lost.
Oh, yeah, you can't be. You know.
So maybe the next time you come. And he told her Bill's favorite two words, shut up.
Oh, God. That is funny. But it's true, though. You know, as much as you want to root your kids on because they're doing something good and positive and stuff, you have to, you know, you have to tone it down somewhat. You don't want to humiliate and embarrass your kid because, you know, you're pissed off at the coach or the official that's, you know, judging something or, you know. There's good calls, bad calls, calls that leave you up in the air and undecided, but, you know, you don't want to make an ass of your kid. Is that normal?
Okay, what did I miss? Because I had to mute my phone for a little bit.
I said, and what's going on with you, Nora, in Chicagoland, and all we heard was crickets.
No. I'm, like I said, I apologize because one of my friends is here and wanted to see the baby and that, so I muted the phone because I didn't think you guys wanted to hear the conversation, so it's okay. Let's see here. Well, we're supposed to be 50, 60 degrees on Wednesday. Woohoo! No snow.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about over here, too, like 58 to 60 degrees. I'm like, are they insane?
It's crazy.
Yeah, global warming, huh?
Yeah, or starting of an ice age, possibly, who knows.
Yeah.
But did you hear what I was talking about with that fireman? Oh, my God, it was just disgusting. That's all over the news.
No, what's going on?
There was a fireman that was originally in my town, okay?
Yeah.
And then a couple of years back, he had transferred to a town next door to where I live.
Yeah.
And he became the head inspector in the fire department. And he was just charged, put on $150,000 bond for sexual assault, breaking and entering into a woman's home in a town, Phil, where your family lives, south of me. That's all I'm going to say. And he was found with lubricant and a sexual toy on his person when he was arrested. Now they're trying to say that he was mentally ill.
What?
And he needs medication, and this is what made him do this. Get out of here. They're trying to hide him behind a badge, and that's not going to work because who's going to believe that crap?
And not only that, once again, stigma against the mentally ill in society. And,
exactly.
You know, it's like, it's bad enough, all these shootings and different things that are going on. They're, you know, those people obviously definitely have issues, you know.
Right.
And you know.
Well, he's not mentally ill. He can't be, not in his line of, you know, being the head inspector at the fire department.
Exactly, and it's like, you know, people need to stop throwing down
blaming.
That mentally ill stuff because, you know, they're going to wean it out so much, the ones that really need the help are not going to
be able to get it.
No, and it's like, you know, we did away with, like, asylums and mental institutions because the mentally ill were treated, horrible. And, you know, it's...
I know, the electric shock treatments, everything. It was disgusting.
Yeah. going to come to a point where they're going to, like, reopen these places back up, and the wrong people are going to be put in there. And they really need to get a grip on that.
Well, you know, also in the States, now they passed, they didn't allow it to pass to banning the weapons in the States. Okay. Now all of a sudden, because of what took place with the shooting and with Mr. Stupid getting on the TV airing his crap about we need to ban weapons. Are you kidding me? It's not the weapons they need to ban. It's the morons behind the weapons.
You know, the people that failed to, because I had read something about, too, that the government, et cetera, or the higher-ups, whoever it is that looks at all these little pieces of paperwork when you file to, you know, be able to carry some type of gun, they were in the hundreds, knee-deep, of people who lied on their applications, falsified stuff, and that's punishable with a fine, with jail time. And the list goes on and on. They need to concentrate on the people who are trying to be stupid,
right,
versus the people who live responsibly with their firearms. And it's a
right.
joke. What they want to do is enable the whole United States to be a bunch of kiss asses.
Sit back and do nothing and do exactly what you're told to do. Otherwise,
yeah.
you'll be in trouble. And but they're trying to pass a law now to try and ban the weapons again. But I don't know how much pull they're going to get on this one because, you know, they're really seriously hitting it. And they started that as of January 3rd, I want to say.
The problem
and
is if you get a couple of states to do it, they're all going to fold like a deck of cards. It's going to be
I know.
What does Phil say?
What
happens?
He wants.
West Coast happens on the East Coast.
Right. But this is what they want. They want us to be disarmed. They want us to look like we're helpless and everything else. So that way we're more apt to not fighting against the government and not fighting in regards to hand-to-hand combat, nothing like that, but fighting against, you know, okay, we're just laying dead and here's our rights. Take them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And like I said, I mean, they're already gone to begin with, you know, but how much further does it have to go before they want to sit there and say, well, hey, you know, this is my plan. I'm the president, and I want it to be where everybody follows exactly what I say, or Homeland Security is going to come in and indefinitely detain you at an undisclosed place, and nobody's going to know where you're at.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous, you know. They had their way. They'd have a completely medicated society. Everybody be on Prozac and Vicodin, and nobody would be able to own firearms, and we'd all sit in our houses with little metal antennas on our heads.
Right. Here we go, the Twilight Zone. And,
exactly.
You know, like I said, that's what they want. But unfortunately, they're the ones that are standing up or saying something. You know, we get frowned upon. How do we get frowned upon? Because we speak our mind? Oh, yeah, that's right. We're not supposed to have an opinion. We're not supposed to have a thought. Nothing. All we're supposed to do is just be robots. Or, as Phil would say, bend over and keep taking it.
Yeah. That's like something was mentioned on a show or two back about we microchip our dogs, why not microchip pedophiles? And that's been brewing in me for a while because I like that idea because these pedophiles slip through the freaking system as soon as they come out the goddamn door from jail. Most of them only get 3 to 5 years. 3 to 5 years doesn't constitute nothing for the victim, and pedophiles are the only people that I deem never get better. Christ, we've had murderers come out of jail and they live a productive life for the rest of their life and not bother nobody, you know. But a pedophile, they always slip up, they always go back.
Right.
Something always happens, and I'm for it.
Right.
Shoveling goddamn microchips in their goddamn heart valve where they can't sit there and pick it out at home. And, you know, we'd be able to see exactly where they are and exactly what they're doing. And there'd be, you know, no hand.
But they don't want to do that. Because then the state's losing money for every time they don't arrest someone.
Yep, they need to because, you know, then they would learn how to register in every state and people would be more aware of where they're at and we'd be able to protect our children better.
Well, yeah.
I'm all for it. Microchip them, son of a bitches. I'm telling you.
There is a town in my state, I kid you not, it's not a big town by any means. I don't live in a big town. And so maybe it's probably about the size of my town. It's one in every 3 to 4 homes in this town are pedophiles. One in every 3 to 4 homes. It's
Dude,
the whole entire town. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's becoming that way clear across the board. If you like, even my area here, we've got one that lives at the top of my street. You know, we were warned about him coming. He's there, and there's nothing we can do about it. And if you do the thing online about where they're all at, I swear to God, there's one every, like you're saying, 3 to 4 freaking doors. And it's like, is that what is going on in the world? There's so many of them sicko bastards.
I know. It's nuts. But, you know, if they go to microchip, because now not a lot of people are aware of this if they don't go and look for it. I came across this thing in regards with the Obamacare. When you read through the forms, it states in there about if they get the H1N1 shot, okay,
yep.
That chip that are whatever they call that chip, I'm sorry, they are supposed to be injecting that in each person that is on that. But unless if you read the fine print, you don't know it.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
That is crazy.
Now, because what I'll do is I'll get that and I'll share it to you both. I don't know if I shared it to you both or just, I can't remember. But anyways, I'll get it and I'll share it to you both so this way you can see. They don't talk a lot through it, but it shows it in the paperwork where it's at. It's crazy.
Wow.
And this is to take effect, is it this month or next month of this year?
Wow.
Yeah. So anybody that gets on the Obamacare, they automatically get a chip and they don't even freaking know it because they're too stupid to read.
Most people don't read the fine print, you know, and you have to.
Right. Well, fortunate is what Phil's wife does. They know what to read. You know what I mean? They do that, but not a lot of people do. You know, before I go to sign something, I don't care how long you're going to sit there. I'm going to read it. I don't care.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, it highlighted, you know, in all the different sections of the Obamacare's medical contract, so to say, you know, it highlights everything for you to see and where it's actually located at in the Obama healthcare paperwork. Hey, I wonder if those people enjoyed their free phones as well.
I don't know. You know, I wish somebody would pay my phone bill.
No doubt.
Right?
I second that.
Like I said, you know, people don't know it. Because I had a friend of mine here one day, and I had fixed this car for him. He had problems for it. And the funny thing is, he sat there when I was telling him this, and he's like, no way. And I pulled it up. I said, here, you can see it for yourself. He's like, oh, my God. He's like, that's great. I said, but people aren't going to read it, and they're going to just sign it. They're going to sign their name away, and chip, you go. I said, they're going to put it through the shot. How can you stop it? Because you were too stupid to sit there and read it first.
Wow.
I haven't had that shot. So if anyone's had the H1N1 shot, it's
nope, not
be in that.
I have never had a flu shot or any shot like that in my life, and I don't plan on it.
Right. So like I said, it's nuts. No, but I will find that and get it to you both so that way you can see. I was just amazed. I'm sitting there looking at this. I'm like, holy crap. You know, how many people aren't aware of this? And actually, how this started was back in 2007 with Bush. And then it passed on to Obama. It passed it on. Crazy. They were playing this for a long time.
Yep. Absolutely.
Because look at, well, you got to understand the conspiracy. Okay? Like in regards to September 11th. People sit there, oh no, it wasn't a conspiracy. It was people that just decided to go crazy. Middle Eastern people are going to come and bomb the United States. No, it had nothing to do with that. They knew who was going to be the rebels or what. Our government knew. Did they stop them? No. But, you know, Bush was safe in the air. Cheney was safe at NORAD. Hello?
Yeah.
While everybody else suffered. Does the government care? No, they do not. It's almost like Eunice's analogy of giving people an enema. The government wants to give an enema. I don't know.
Well, you know, we ought to just limit their pay to $75,000 for the next 3 years, because all the money they're getting would pay off part of the national debt.
Well, you know what? If they got Congress, if they stop their paychecks in the Congress and in the House for a year, I'm sure that would pay it off even faster.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the biggest scammers right there, besides the insurance companies.
Huh. Yep.
Take your money and don't do shit.
Insurance companies and government are all intertwined. One hand feeds the other, while the other hand slipping them 20s under the doormat.
Exactly. Unbelievable. I'm telling you.
Hey, I'm gonna play a song. I'll be right back.
Okay. I'm going to put you on mute for a minute, so I'll be back. Don't think I, like, flew the coop, okay?
This is a little Bob Seger.
Okay.
Now featuring alto on the saxophone. Turn the page.
All alone on the highway, east of Omaha, we can listen to the engine moaning out as one long song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do when you're riding 16 hours and there's nothing much to do. And you don't feel much like riding, you just wish the trip was through. See, here I am, on the road again. There I am, up on the stage. Here I go, playing the star again. There I go, turn the page. Well, you walk into a restaurant, strung out from the road. You feel the eyes upon you as you're shaking off the cold. You pretend it doesn't bother you, but you just want to explode. Most times you can't hear them talk, other times you can't. All the same old cliches. Is that a woman or a man? And you're all numbers, you don't dare make a stand.
Money for 3 years, $75,000 a year until they straighten all this shit out. What do you think?
Oh, I'm in total agreement to that. I believe that heads of state should be doing their jobs because they believe in the country they live in. They believe in the people that work in the country. And it shouldn't be about their five-star dinners and their fancy houses and their limousine services and their Cadillacs. And no, you should be wanting to do that and make humble pay like most Americans do. And I also believe that there should be, you know, like the president is a eight-year cutoff. I believe we're Congress members and, like, other different means of heads of state, there should be a year cut off, too. Like, you know, there are some people in Congress that, you know, they've got dust growing off of them, but that's besides the point. The whole system needs to be revamped in order to get things running right. But, yeah, they should, you know, people are so worried, we're so worried about the fiscal cliff and everything else. I didn't hear, and I'm not trying to mock the Republicans. I'm not, because I know a lot of you people are diehard Republicans. But I didn't see any of them, you know, Republicans with their big fat paychecks and their wallet full of green, you know, step up to the podium and say, hey, you know what, I'll donate half my check.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They want to keep that right in their pocket. And, I mean, Democrats make the money, too. But we know the Republicans are geared more towards the rich folks. Democrats are geared more towards the poor folks. And I don't know. When it comes to money, money's power. Power's money. And, you know, money makes the world go round. And those of us that don't have it, you just shit on somebody's shoe waiting to be scraped off.
I don't know. You know, what do we do? But, you know?
Yeah. There's nothing you can do unless you buy a mountain or an island, you know, and just disappear either into the mountainside or way out at sea on an island somewhere and pray to God that no tsunamis come your way or you don't get eaten by a bear.
Yeah, you know, you're right on that one.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the only way you're going to escape all the bullshit that goes on.
Yeah, I think we lost...
No, she said she was going to be, she was putting the phone on mute for a little bit because she had to tend to something, I guess.
Yeah.
In the house. She's got a full house right now.
So, hey, when how's your mom doing?
She's, you know, it's like I said earlier. It's horrible. I mean, physically, I can tell you she's healthy, I guess, for as best as to be expected. But mentally, man, she's done. She's done. You know, to lose the ability to walk at this point in your life, it takes a mental toll on her. And getting situated with all this damn nurse bullshit, and a guy was here today and said that the nursing home gave her the wrong style chair and she needed this, that, and the other. So they're trying to get her an electric chair. But she hasn't been out of bed in 3 weeks because, the whole help situation, you know? And, I mean, that's a prison sentence right there to somebody who can't walk and can't get up and can't do whatever. You know, they need to be gotten up and put in a chair and, you know, so they can wheel themselves around and have some independence. And she's losing that sound part of her mind that, you know, states I'm independent and I can do things for myself because she's been sitting around in bed.
I don't know what to tell you on that one because I went through the same thing with my mom.
Right. And it's horrible, you know, and your hands are tied because everything's wrapped up with the system or it's financial bullshit, you know, and what do you do? What do you do? It's like they almost, it's crazy, it's like they almost force your hand that if you have a loved one home, it's almost like a setup for failure. They don't want to help you with anything so you can put them back in a rehab or nursing home, whatever, so it can regenerate money. I don't know. It's all political bullshit. And again, it's government, insurance, medication companies, and they're all tied in with one another, every single damn one of them. And you would think, Phil, that realistically, when you take a loved one home to take care of them and make sure that they're surrounded by their family, their friends, and they're in their home, you would think that a lot of these higher-ups, you know, they're saving money.
Yeah.
Saving money, sending the person home versus keeping them in a hospital or a rehab or a nursing home. And they don't care. They don't care. And I've said a couple of times with the things me and my brother have had to, you know, call and inquire and bitch and write and everything else, I'm like, I feel bad for the person that might land up like my mom that doesn't have anybody to advocate for them, you know, because they're not going to, you know, throw you the paperwork of this is a solution, this is somebody you can call, if you need this, do that, you know. No, they don't say nothing.
Right.
And it's horrible. It's totally freaking horrible. You know, today, this morning, I almost felt suffocated because instead of, like, spreading everything out, at 8 o'clock this morning, we had PT, OT, the wheelchair dude, her nurse, a nurse's aide. We need a nurse's aide in the afternoon so she can get up in the morning and go back to bed in the evening. But they're all going to come through the door at 8 a.m. You know how quick I got out of this house? I was out of this house by 9:05.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a... And it's an invasion of privacy, but I understand it's something that needs to be. But why do they all have to come in at the same time and they're stepping all over one another and it's just, it's a mass ruckus is what it is. They need to just, I don't know. It is what it is, and I'm not going to be able to change it. I'm one person. I'm you know, trying to do the best I can, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. No, you know, it's like there's all kinds of goofy shit going on because they did the same thing to my mom, man.
Yeah.
She started at one floor, and you know, because they did the same thing. Basically, they took everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And here's the thing, like when she first went to rehab, the social worker came in and said, "Oh, you're not going to have to use this. You're not going to have to use that." Blah 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 blah. By the time she left rehab 6 months later, there's nothing left. Everything she's worked for is all gone. There's nothing left. Not even money to bury her. How do you like that? When I tell you there's nothing left, I mean every penny is gone. There's nothing there. It's all gone. And I mean, I feel bad for her because that was her savings, her stuff, her, you know what I'm saying, things she had planned out for when she passed away, for me and my brother, her grandkids, different things, you know. There's nothing. There's dust bunnies. That's about it.
Yeah.
And that's a kick in the teeth. My mom wasn't someone with her hand out, you know, give me money, give me this. My mom was a very, very proud person. She didn't ask for anything in life. Her and my father kind of lived by this motto, which was my grandfather's motto. If you didn't have cash in the pocket to buy it, then you must not need it, because they didn't believe in credit either. You know,
right.
you buy it outright, and if you didn't have the money to buy it, it's because you didn't need it that bad. And they were very, very proud people.
Yeah. It's and you know, a lot of people, everybody says one thing and everybody does something else, but you know, how do you get around it? There's no way. You can't. They just have it so set up that you can't beat the system. And if
right.
you do, and if you do beat the system, by the guys who set it up, who are doing the same shit daily and not getting caught.
Yep. She can't have, you know, at her age, she's 68, I think. She's born in 44. She can't have right now no more than, I think it's $4,000in a savings account, checking account, whatever. If she has $4,001 in the account, they can take away different things that she needs.
Yeah.
And I'm just, you know, I'm really stuck on stupid as to who made these guidelines. You know, I don't understand it. I really, really don't. And I don't know, you know, to say we need help, I don't think directly we need help for, like, the bills in the house and different things like that, because I'm pretty much taking care of that. But do I think my mom needs help with equipment and different things like that that I feel she's entitled to, and right now she's not getting? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But again, it's pride. Pride comes in the way, and that's it, you know. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, I just got this thing about Social Security cards. Well, actually, Social Security itself in... Check this out. And this is kind of like a history lesson on your Social Security card. But just in case some of you young whippersnappers and some older ones don't know this, it's easy to check out if you don't believe what you're reading. Be sure and show it to your family and friends. They need a little history lesson on what's what, and it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, facts are facts. Cards up until the 1980s expressly stated the number and card were not used to be used for identification purposes. Since nearly everyone in the United States now has a number, it became a convenient way to use it anyway. NAFRA identification was removed. And a Social Security card with the NAFRA identification message, our Social Security. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a Democrat, introduced the Social Security FICA program as he promised. Number one was the participation in the program would be completely voluntary. Now it's no longer voluntary. Number two, the participants would only have to pay 1% of the first $1,400 of their annual income into the program. Now 76.5% on the first $90,000. That the money the participants elect to put in the program would be deductible from their income taxes for taxpayer purposes each year. Now it's no longer tax deductible. Number four, the money the participants put in went into the independent trust fund rather than to the general operating fund, and therefore would only be used to fund Social Security retirement program and no other government program. And under Johnson, the money was moved to the general fund and spent. Number five, the annuity payments to retirees would never be taxed as income. Under Clinton and Gore, up to 85% of your Social Security can be taxed. Since many of us has paid into FICA for years and are now receiving a Social Security check every month, and then finding out you're getting taxed on 85% of that money we paid to the federal government to put away, you might be interested in the following. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Which political party took Social Security from the independent trust fund and put it into the general fund so that Congress could spend it?
Beats the hell out of me. That's a damn good question.
It was Lyndon Johnson in the Democratic-controlled House and Senate. Question number two. Which political party eliminated the income tax deduction for Social Security FICA withholding?
The Democratic Party.
Question number three. Which political party started taxing Social Security annuities?
Republican Party.
No. The answer is Democratic Party, with Al Gore casting the tie-breaking deciding vote as president of the Senate while he was vice president of the U.S. Which political party decided to start giving annuity payments to immigrants? And my favorite,
the Democrats, right?
And that's right. Jimmy Carter and the Democratic Party. Immigrants moved into this country at age 65, began to receive Social Security payments. The Democratic Party gave these payments to them, even though they never paid a dime into it. Then after violating the original contract, FICA, the Democrats turn around and tell you that the Republicans want to take your Social Security away. The worst part of it all is that uniformed citizens believe it. If enough people receive this, maybe a seed of awareness will be planted and maybe change will evolve. But it's worth a try. How many people? So it's on my page, but I'll send it to you.
Hey, I've got a buddy who's obviously listening to the show, and I went to school with him pretty much my whole life. And
mm-hmm.
His nickname is Kazoo. At least I'm the only one that still calls him Kazoo. And he just sent me a quick message that says, here in PA, if you threaten someone, they don't charge you with threatening bodily harm or threatening property. They charge you with making terrorist threats. The
yep.
Government conditioning the sheep to accept that their neighbor could be a terrorist and not to question when their neighbor disappears in the middle of the night with no right to appear in court, no right to a lawyer, and held
nope.
Indefinitely. But we've been talking about that now for like a year. You know, and he sent me a little link on Representative Jose Sereno about a bill to repeal the presidential term limit. And I'm going to send that your way here directly. It looks a little bit interesting that you might want to, you know, take a look at.
Yeah. No, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't think she fell asleep.
Wanted to say goodnight, guys.
Oh, all right.
Goodnight,
Eunice. Goodnight. I'm trying to stay awake, but I can't.
All right, well, sweet dreams.
All right. Talk to you Thursday, guys.
Okay, bye-bye. Goodnight,
Eunice. Get some rest.
Yep. Goodnight.
Well,
Take care, my friends.
You too.
Okay, goodnight.
Hey, I just put that
yeah,
link.
I got it.
All right, cool. That's the only thing cool about
being able to do this show and work on the computer in between it for like little tidbits like him shooting me a fast message, you know, it's like, wow, okay. You know,
okay, sorry, I'm back.
Hey, all right.
Sorry.
Polly has arrived.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, are you puffing on something?
Well,
me?
One of you smoking something?
I just had a cigarette outside.
Okay, that's what I heard.
How can you hear it? I had my phone muted.
Well, I heard somebody like, might have been me.
No, I was saying that like, because I was trying to mute my phone back and the screen kept, you know, going dark instead of staying light. I'm like, oh. Sorry. So, what did I miss? Anything? Nothing? Oh, my God. You'll never guess what I got from my neighbor.
What did you, well, I don't, you know, is it safe for you to talk about? What are you getting from your neighbor, Nora?
No, it's what I got from my neighbor. It was 110-ounce Hickory Farms summer sausage links.
Say that again.
He's like, can you use these? I'm like, oh, I'll find homes for them. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah. So, yeah, Bill and I did a little networking Saturday. And,
yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I'm just waiting for confirmation from a gang of people.
Yeah. I wonder who the gang of people could be.
I didn't know that there were gangs. Sorry. Except for the ones that are in the Englewood neighborhood.
and over Massachusetts, we just call that Roxbury.
Yeah.
So keep going, Phil.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No worries. But,
hey, I wish we had a video camera, like, on your face when we just, like, so graciously come crashing in and interrupt you. You know, I think some of the facial expressions would probably be prize-winning moments.
Priceless.
Yeah, exactly.
A priceless moment.
No, from all walks of life, man. There's all from Espinosa Leathers to Upside of Down. Just a shitload.
That was a good cause.
Yeah, just a shitload of people.
Right.
And then on Saturday we're gonna have the. It's gonna be called. Well, it's called the West Coast Comedy Jam. But it's going to be for the Fallen Riders Foundation.
Right. Yeah. That's a quiet night in the chat room.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people there. They're just not in the chat room.
Oh. That's like first time getting in. I'm like, holy crap, where is everybody at?
I'm like... just about holding my eyes open at this point. I need, like, toothpicks.
Oh.
Hey, I heard Little Man in the background there.
Yeah, he's like a little goo-goo, like a goo.
Yeah, my granddaughter's doing all that stuff.
Oh,
mine's
he
already got,
is.
Mine's already got teeth.
No kidding.
Wow.
They grow too fast.
Yeah, he's already gone from front to back and he's trying to scoot. He doesn't realize he's too little yet, but, you know, he's a strong little baby.
Yeah, my granddaughter over the weekend just turned 3 months old on the 6th, you know, and I just want to meet her. You know, it's like, I haven't met her yet. I just want to meet her.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it was actually funny because, like, I had him for today, and then my daughter came back, and he was just wonderful, you know. She came back, and he just was pussy the whole entire time. I'm like, and she's like, I think I have to go someplace and come back. Because he just went all down. And then I went into the room, picked him up out of the crib, and he stopped.
Did we lose Phil, or is he incognito?
No, I think he's puffing.
I'm fine. I'm just letting you guys vent.
Vent. Oh, that's what it's called?
Oh, my God. Stacy, did you know I'm a guy?
Yeah. On your page, I'm like, what the hell is that? What's
yeah,
that
I figured
about?
If I went to sleep as a man, I'd wake up as a woman.
What?
I was so mad. This guy actually called me a faggot and said that I was a guy. I'm like, what the hell is your problem? Oh, you're a guy. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, just wait. I said, you're going to get a phone call in the morning. And yeah, believe me.
Oh. Oh, God. People are crazy.
Well, he got a phone call and was told.
Oh, my God.
But at the moment, it was, you know, it wasn't funny. You know, I'm sitting there. I'm like, I went to go respond once. You know, look, I'm not a guy. And he didn't believe me. He started cursing me to nobody's business, okay? And then all of a sudden, he wouldn't stop. For 2 hours, he wouldn't stop sending me messages. I'm like, I didn't respond. I was just like, what the hell? So that's when I put that post up, you know? And the guys were laughing, you know, like, who would think you're a guy?
Yeah, I was stumped on that. I was like, what in the hell is going on?
Yeah, and I thought, well, maybe if I put up a photo or something, a different kind of photo, maybe they'd realize I'm not a dude.
Yeah, but you know what? People should just, you know, accept things when people tell them.
Right.
You know? Like if you say you're a girl, you're a girl.
Well, yeah, you know, but no, I have seen people where, and it's weird, you know, people have women, like a profile picture, but they're dudes. Or the dudes, the girls will post up a dude picture and act like a guy, you know. I'm like, what the hell is your guys' problem? You know?
Yeah,
and it's like, what's wrong with people?
It's a bit bizarre. People are definitely whacked.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I asked one of my friends here, I said something this morning, I said, you know, we've known each other for how long? He goes, a long time. And he's like, and I love you. I said, oh, I love you too. And then he's like, and then I told him, I said, did you know I'm a guy? He goes, well, you must hide it very well.
No doubt.
Because I can't tell. I'm like, oh, crap.
Well, if anybody looked at your picture, they'd obviously know.
Well, yeah, you know, but even my nephew had called me, and he's like, what the hell is up with that? You know, and I'm like, I know. Because he's like, you took that photo during the summer. Actually in the fall. I said, yeah, I know. And he's like, can they not see? Are they just fucking blind or retards, you know? Like, retards. Retards for us. But, yeah, I figured I'd give you guys a giggle. I was a dude, but I woke up a woman again, so.
Oh, my God.
So my nephew's cousin, he had sent me a message. He's like, if you go to sleep as a dude and wake up as a woman, does that mean you're wearing a strap-on when you go to bed and then you wake up and it's not on? How does that work? I said, I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, crap. It took me a while to settle down. I didn't get to bed until like 3 in the morning. I'm like, what the hell? And the moron says that crap.
Yeah. Wow.
A moron that doesn't have any brains.
Well,
yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, I just get all the lunatics.
Oh, God.
I don't know how to weed through the lunatics because they come on normal and then all of a sudden, poof, out comes the weirdness.
No doubt.
I don't know. I have no idea. But I figured you guys needed a good laugh. And, you know, I did tell Phil earlier in the chat, and I am, you know, did you know I'm a guy? Gotta see the humor in it. Stupidity.
Do you know how many sit-ups I did today? I just want to say 50? 125.
Good for you.
Yeah, you know how many, there's like a, I don't know if you want to call it a Nautilus setup, I don't know. But it's a pull bar
right.
That comes down and you, there's like a 25-pound weight on it. And you just
okay.
go from your chest to your waist, up and down
right.
fast. You keep your elbows to your sides. I did 200 of them. Yeah, but Sensei works our asses off. Oh, my God, my body is on fire right now. I
but
couldn't
it's
fight,
good, you know.
I couldn't fight my way out of a wet paper bag at the moment. I'd be like, please don't hit me. I'd be like, ouch, ouch.
But it's good, because I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Buy yourself a gun.
I mean, yeah.
I had 12.
I've got a British 303. I've got my dad's 22 shotgun. I've got a 12. I poke around.
Pokey, pokey, pokey.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what?
I used to pop them in the backyard in broad daylight, and I asked my neighbor, I'm like, did you hear anything? No?
But you know what, Phil? Sometimes there, you know, people resort to all kinds of instruments to, you know, just settle the difference. You know, what's a punch in the face? A pint of beer afterwards, you know? Christ, they still do that shit in some of the pubs in Ireland. Take it out back, beat the guy till he's half to death, and then they stand up, shake hands, and share a pint.
Yeah.
People take things too far to the extreme. Instead of settling things, you know, either verbally or maybe somebody needs a punch in the head, you do it that way. They got to take things far. They got to beat him half to death, or they have to stab him, or they have to shoot him, or throw them off a cliff, you know? I mean, what happened to, you know, the good old-fashioned bitch slap that wakes the person up? Yo!
I know.
What
about the old-fashioned spankings?
Yeah.
Some people just need a punch in the face.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's like I think...
Throw a punch.
Yeah, I think if we were allowed to go around smacking people more, I think society would function better. Because, you know,
yeah.
if you put something stupid and somebody comes over and whacks you upside the head, yo, man, you know, pay attention. Oh, thanks, man. That's the way it should be. That's the way I'm viewing the world right now, you know.
Yeah.
You need a smack in the head, call me. I'll give you a reality check.
Or some dismiss, real punch. Oh.
Yeah. Yep.
I know that feeling all too well. There's plenty of them. I'd like to do that too.
Well, you know, since you guys said it's almost time to go, and since you guys said it's going to be like summer back there, not the perfect.
Yeah, we're going to get naked.
Yeah, right. Send pictures.
I don't ever want the world to see that with me. Naked pictures. Nah, they ain't ready for all that.
Oh, don't worry. You'll get yours in the spring, Phil, and then you can put it up in the blog.
Yeah.
I'm going to be baby in a month.
Oh, you are? That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do that?
Stacey, one of my friends has got let me use his bike. Way
Stacey,
cool.
For a year now.
No, I can't. You know, I'm sorry. You know, the guys get busy.
You need to get, what's his face there? Ryan, is that his name?
I told Ryan.
Yeah, he needs
I
to
said,
come.
I said, you need to get here. He goes, I need money first.
Yeah, he needs to go down there and he can, like, you know, do you up. And you can cook him, like, chicken and dumplings or something. Something good.
Yeah.
Shut up, Phil, man.
I come. I'm a great cook.
Yeah. Oh, I know you are. I can verify
yeah.
this. I've had your
yep,
cookies.
Yep.
And don't say anything obnoxious, Phil.
No, I won't. I won't.
Okay, very good.
What I was going to say was I'm going to take this out with a little Mike P. This one's called Summertime.
Awesome.
And,
oh, yeah.
Phil will be here Thursday. And
okay.
We'll talk to you all Thursday. Good night, everybody. I hope all your New Year's resolutions are sticking to them. And we'll talk to you guys Thursday.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike P, the big homie. Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah. Come on.
C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G'd up and fly all the time. Yeah. Summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 homie. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G'd up and fly all the time. Yeah. Summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 homie. It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley, it's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley. Twist the bottle open, homie, throw away the cap. Cause where we going, man, we don't need that. All we need is a 30-pack, a pack of Jimmy Straps, pack of hood rats, and a pallet kicking at. I think I'm called Swim, see what's up with him. If I can throw some hoes in the pool again. When it comes to having fun, I'm a motherfucking addict. Once again, I'm back at it, baby mama, too dramatic. And goddamn it, it's about that time. Then drink up the vodka, beer, and wine. Not even Friday night, drunk for the 10th time. So what the fuck, I guess I'll bust another rhyme. Cause hey, all I wanna do is drink beer and screw. Hang on the avenue and go home with you when the party ends. Mike P back again, representing. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G'd up and fly all the time. Yeah, summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 homie. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G'd up and fly all the time. Yeah, summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 homie. Mine's Mike P, and it's likely that you just might be my new right team. I'm just playing. Tell me, baby girl, hey, are you leaving or staying? There's a pool party going on, I'm all jumping. Kick back for a second, bring a couple of friends. I don't know the type of crib that you been in, but my backyard look like a fucking Caribbean. Waterfalls, waterfalls, let's slip, let's fly. Jump in the pool, act a fool. I'm way too cool, call me GQ Smooth. It's a player's holiday, so it's time to celebrate. Got chicken on the grill, put some beer and steak. The feeling so great in the 818. It's a summertime breeze for the summertime G's and the summertime ladies with the double double G's. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G'd up and fly all the time. Yeah, summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 homie. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G'd up and fly all the time. Yeah, summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 homie.
Yeah, this next verse right here goes out to everybody cruising Lower Canyon, homie, in 1999, 2000. Yeah, this one's for you, straight up.
In the town of 818 of the L.A. counties, there's a place that we roll in the San Fernando Valley. A little boulevard that's called Lower Canyon, where all the chicken heads go when it's time for land. Hit the street looking clean, rolling these up on a Cadillac. Bumping too short like a big motherfucking Mac. Take a sip of yak just to get right. Holler at some hoes at the next red light. From Fox Avenue all the way to Brand. Turn around and come back to the three-wheel stand. Six and throw, watch it jump, hydraulic in the trunk. Turn my bass up and watch the